Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to episode number 3 of Bat Chat. Thanks for joining us on this podcast again. Very exciting news coming out of Bendigo on the weekend. I'm looking forward to talking all about it with my co-host, as always, Andy Buchanan, the 212 marathon runner and third fastest runner over the weekend at Gels Park Relays. Welcome to this week's show, Andy Buchanan.
Thanks, Brady. We're up and about this week, so it's going to be a fun episode to recap what was a really good all-round weekend of running for Bendigo. So I'm excited to relive some of the memories because it's a race that I'll remember for a long time for many reasons. So it's going to be good fun.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to talking about it as well because some fond memories, and it's going to be good to unpack it all because, you know, you get different experiences from different individuals. So it's going to be interesting to hear some of your thoughts on it as well. And we're also joined by a very special guest of the Bat community out of Bendigo. He is the team director of the Bendigo Batch, Nigel Preston. Welcome to this episode, this podcast, Bat Chat. Welcome.
Thanks, Brady. Thanks, Andy. And guys, I've only just caught my voice back from the weekend from yelling so loud at all of our athletes on the weekend. It was hard work being the team manager, running around, making sure everyone starts at the right time, and then just yelling so loudly, but it was awesome.
I reckon we go with team director, Nige, like the Formula One kind of vibe, not team manager.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, good.
Do you reckon you're more of like a Christian Horner or like a Toto Wolff kind of guy?
Oh, big call. Probably a Christian Horner, I think. I definitely had the foot tapping on the in the last couple of legs there on the weekend.
Hopefully you don't throw the headphones tonight like Toto did.
Yeah, that's right. I could guarantee I'm probably a bit more in that ilk. It's good.
I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts as well because you obviously see the race from a whole different angle that we do. And it wasn't just about the Premier Division team. Like you obviously and Andy had a lot to do with putting all the teams together for the weekend, and there was a lot more success than just our Premier Division team. So, I guess first question for you, Andy, how's the body pulled up and how's life been the last 48 hours since I saw you? This was your first hard run since the marathon. No one really knew what you were going to do. And yeah, how much trouble did you get in from your coach after going a bit quicker than you were meant to on Saturday?
Yeah, so I got in a fair bit of trouble. But I think that's the first time I've ever got in trouble from Scotty. So it was okay. We've smoothed it over and I'm 100% following his instructions from now on in. So I was meant to run no quicker than 3:20s. And I think I averaged 2:55. So
that's K pace we're talking about here.
Yeah, that's K pace. So I was nowhere near it. But I don't know, Scott. He obviously had my long term interests in the forefront of his mind, and he believes in that old. Well, no, it's not old, but it has been around for a while. Of no hard running for 3 weeks. So it's kind of that mile every day. So it takes a day to recover from every mile you've raced. So obviously the marathon takes its toll, but I was really keen to get out there and support the team. So yeah, got in a bit of a trouble, but that's okay. We're all good there now. And the body actually feels pretty good. I did a stride in my warm up before I raced, and I felt pretty average. And I thought, oh, geez, this could be bad here. But I think I got carried away with the race, and I actually felt just as I normally would in a normal XCR. You kind of felt pretty good, and then a little bit hard, and the last K was pretty challenging, and that's pretty standard, I think. So felt pretty good. Felt good on Sunday. Went for a bit of a long run, just an hour, but my hamstrings and glutes were a little bit tight in the last kind of 24 hours. But I would actually say I've pulled up better than what I normally would after Gels Park, and I'm not sure how that's happened.
Interesting.
Okay.
So
does that standard sort of 3 week rest, Brady, have you found that's pretty consistent for you with your marathon work?
Yeah, I like the day a mile, so like, yeah, 26 days. And but in saying that, like, I usually have the first week maybe 4 or 5 days no running, and then like some 20-30 minute like runs, and then kind of build up to maybe hit say 60 minutes 80 minutes 2 weeks after the race, and then maybe start adding some intensity in. So yeah, this is what Andy did is definitely not recommended, smacking a 17:50 6K cross country race when, you know, potentially the greatest Australian distance runner of all times chasing you down 30 seconds behind. Like, this isn't written in a book anywhere to do this. But you make an interesting point about that team environment as well. If that was an individual race, you probably wouldn't have even entered, but you put yourself into a relay team because you want to help the team. And then, yeah, we'll get more into that performance and stuff, and maybe go through a couple of the different key legs that happened on the week. But Nige, did you want to give us a bit of a rundown? I'm not sure if we actually told the listeners. We're talking about the Gels Park relays, 6x6K for the Premier Division team, but we had a whole heap of different teams there. So do you want to maybe just give us a rundown of the whole team results first, Nige, and then we'll get into some individual performances?
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, Brady. So, yeah, 12 teams overall. That translates to 43 athletes across all the different divisions. So Premier League, we'll call it Premier League. They have 6 legs, but some of the shorter, some of the other divisions have shorter legs. And in terms of the Bendigo growth, I was looking through some of the info, and look, back in 2018, we only had 3 teams compete and 14 athletes. So to now be taking 12 teams and 43 athletes to Bendigo is just huge from our efforts, I think. But from the juniors, so in the girls, we had a 9th place in the under-18s and runner-up in the under-20s. So good to see us having junior girls teams full stop, but really good to see them having some success. In the junior boys, the under-18s, we had the winners and the 6th place there. So again, great to see some junior boys on course. In the women's, took 2 teams. They won Div 4, and they were 6th place in the women's 50+. And then we had 6 teams in the men's. So we've already covered that we won the Premier Division. We were the winners of the Div 4. We took out 2nd and 3rd in Div 7, won the 40+, and were 13th in the 50+. So across the board, I reckon our return rate was pretty excellent, guys. What do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. I feel for Ivanhoe. They're in Div 4, and that's their number one team. And here we are with our second team, and they're going to be a strong second team all year. Like, I don't think we're going to have a weak round. So I really feel for Ivanhoe, because that's that is rough coming up against us in Div 4 with our second team. So
promote one team out of Div 4? Like, have they got to win Div 4 to go up to Div 3 next year?
I think so. I think it's only Premier where there's two. Yeah, I think it's only that top one where the drops. But that's all right. You got to do your time. Got to do your time in those lower divisions like we did over the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, because we've crawled up from Div 4, haven't we? We were Div 4 once upon a time.
I reckon we were Div 5 even.
Div 5.
Yeah.
I think it was Div 5 in 2017. Yeah, and it's just been steady, slow.
Just chipping away.
Picking up. Yeah.
On that Div 4 team, I've just got the results up here. There's some quick times in there too for Division 2, like two guys under 20 minutes for the 6K. Jamie the Beast Cook let them off. And I didn't realise that they were going to start. I thought they started with everyone, but they were on the third gun. It was like Premier Division or maybe Div 2, and then the females went, and then those guys. So the Beast had to get through a bit of traffic, he was telling me.
Yeah, that was something new this year to lower the numbers on the start line. So I don't know if that's a COVID thing. I don't know if that's a safety thing. I'm not sure, but that is the first time they've done that. Because they used to have it all lined up to every single division up along that start line. But that start line isn't as long anymore because you used to go further up the hill. So I'm not sure with that corner being sooner, they staggered it. So I actually thought they were starting all together. And I said to Jamie, go first because you can chase Div 3, Div 2, maybe some Div 1 guys. But he still had Linden to chase, which was that's still pretty good competition to chase around. So I think he got her after about half the first lap. So,
And it'd still be relatively quiet compared to the other legs because you wouldn't be lapping people still, because no one would have changed it, would they?
That's one thing I noticed on my leg, because I always run first. This is the first time I haven't ran first, I think, from memory, and it was very different having people to lap, because I'm not used to that. Like, you might sometimes get one or two walkers that you lap running first, but very rarely. But you were constantly running past people, and especially when I was running with Andre, it was like, oh, what side's he going to go? Oh, what's this runner going to do? So it's definitely something new for me and something that I found, a little bit more challenging.
Mate, that's on leg 6. That's when half the races are finished by then. Try doing like leg 4 or 5 down here with us plebs who have been doing that for the last 4 or 5 years when you've been running first.
Yeah, I'm happy with first. I'll keep taking that spot, I think.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think we got it right this round, didn't we? So I don't know if we're going to be changing that anytime soon.
You are the captain.
Yeah, I'll keep it in that order. I did drive home when we got through about Elmore on the way home. I said to the boys, I reckon I nailed that order, boys. That was pretty special. So we'll go to the Premier Division team. So Nathan Stote led us off at the start. Got us in good position. We'll come in third through the first changeover, which we'd probably expect up against Liam Cashin and who else in front of us?
Mentone as well, so they're Div 2.
And Knox as well, actually. We'd probably come through more like fifth overall, including the two Division 2 teams that were in front of us. And he ran 18.26. I'm just getting the 18.27, I think it was, just getting the results up in front of me now. And then I went through, and it was good. I was kind of happy with my leg because I got in a position where I just had to really focus on chasing some people down. So Nick Baggett from Box Hill and also Callum Drake from Western A's, which got us into the lead. And then Matt Buckle kind of spent probably the first 3K, maybe 2.5K in the lead before Jack Rayner took over the lead from Western A's. And I don't know about you boys, but when I saw Jack on my warm-up and he told me he was running a leg 3, I thought that was going to be excellent for us because he was their superstar and he was in the middle of the race. Whereas we knew Andy and Archie, we still had further down the line, and we weren't sure about the depth from Western A's. So they kind of showed their hand early in a way, Andy, I suppose.
Yeah, it's one of the great things about Charles Park. You're there, you're looking around, you're like, oh, there's someone. What league are they running? Oh, are they running today? Are they just watching? And it's one of the things. It's while it'd be great to have the teams beforehand, it is great not knowing who's going to rock up. Like, it's just such an unknown. So, but it was, I don't know, Jack got a fair old lead, but I knew we had some good runners towards the back end of ours, and we were trying to think who would Western A's have. And credit to Nate Pierce, we'll chat about his run a little bit more, but Jack ran super, but Matt did really well in having Jack chasing him and not getting carried away, I think. So that was impressive from Matt, and especially like leading a race, that's pretty big for a 18-19 year old. So really big run from that, I think.
And just looking at all the splits from the third runners in Premier Division, he was actually the third fastest over that leg. So he was still faster than the Box Hill guy. He was faster than St. Stephen's guy. Isaac Hockey was the only person quicker than him over that leg for the day. So it's good. He's holding his spot pretty well there. And yeah, we dropped a second, but we still held off everyone else. So put us into our second position coming to Brian McGinley, who, is this his first time repping Bendigo at cross country?
Yes. Yeah, very first time, and he's thrown into Gels Park when we're up the pointy end. So I messaged Brian the other day just saying, hey mate, great run. You were exactly what we needed. We weren't expecting a 18 mid from you. We just wanted a nice safe run, I suppose. And yeah, he delivered that, and yeah, he probably got a little bit carried away at the start, which that happens on your first run. I think everybody at Jails makes that mistake, especially their first time. So that's his very first run, ran 19:58, which is still a very good time. And I message him, and he's so keen for all the rounds. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm doing Gold Coast, but I want to do every single round as well. So he's pumped, and he was a big part of that team. So,
yeah.
Who was the Richmond footballer who'd never played a game before, and then they put him in for the grand final, and then he won a granny in his first ever game? This is like Brian, never worn the singlet before, comes in, gets a Premier Division gold medal around his neck for the drive home. Man, you have been doing this for about 17 years, Andy. Never got any silverware to come home with.
I like the comparison. I like the comparison there of an AV relay medal to a Premiership medal. I reckon they're about the same. So that's I like that.
For sure. Absolutely. I've been taking photos of mine, sending them around all the last couple of days. So then
here and you haven't taken yours off yet, Brady.
I pretty much drove home with it all on. And then, my Inside Running podcast co-hosts were asking for a few photos of it today. So I sent a few through to them. So they were pretty happy to see it. So we did slip down to third during Brian's leg four. And we're in hot pursuit from St. Stephen's, which really worried me to look like we were possibly going into fourth. Box Hill had a really good leg there. Douglas Buckeridge ran 18:28. And this is where we had Archie, and he's come off some sickness, and he had a bit of a shocker in terms of his expectations up at Sydney 10 the week before. Hasn't done a lot of cross-country running, comes from a Chukamoama, doesn't run on the hills that often. He had a shocker here last year as well at Gels Park Relays, and I thought this could go either way. And if he'd ran 20 minutes, I would have been like, well, you've been sick, you're low on confidence, cross-country's not your forte, that's okay. But he chilled out, learned from his mistakes from last year, chilled out his first lap. Chris Dale from St. Stephen's, I think, got the gap down to about 4 seconds coming into the two last hills of the first lap. And then Archie just went to work and put about, I think he put 35 seconds into Chris Dale in the second 3K lap and negative split it. I think he told me today he ran the last K of that course in 2:56, which includes the last two hills. So we ran 18:41, which is the third quickest time of our team, the fourth quickest time of our team. But yeah, the way he executed his leg was pretty special to give you a position, or to get you into a position to change over exactly with Andre Waring for second and third spot going into the last leg.
Yeah, it was a big run from Archie. I know I saw you when he was coming around. He must have been just about to finish his first lap. And one of the great things about Jails is it's so easy to see everyone running around. And the way they've set up that tent city, the runners literally run down the back of it, do a lap around it, then come back up in front of all the tents, which was really awesome. And I saw him there, and I was looking, and I saw the St. Stephen's runner closing, and I know Stewie's running last, and I'm going, oh, Brady, I need more of a gap than this. Watch out, what is Archie doing? But you're going, nah, it's all right. He's building on the gap. It's getting bigger. And Archie, he showed a lot of maturity there, so that was really impressive. It was a really impressive run, and he didn't get carried away at the start, which it would have been easy to do trying to chase those teams ahead. So super run from Archie, and I think it's when you're doing this relay event, you've got to be careful that you are tactically smart and don't cook it on the first lap, because then you can really bleed time. And that Archie did that perfectly. So
Yeah. And it's good to see people learn from their experiences as well and execute race plans. And I think that's what we kind of talked about driving down. Like, you got to be, if you think you're going too slow in that first lap at Gels, you got to go even slower. Like, you've got to be able to feel good through the halfway mark at Gels Park. I've stuffed it up many of times. But yeah, you've got to try and negative split it to get your best performance out for the team. And then Nijet kind of brew this perfect storm. Buchanan, Mick Swain, 30 seconds behind. Nath Pearce, probably the slower of the four teams runner, gets the 30-second head start. And Andre Waring in there with Box Hill as well. So, and you know, most divisions kind of finish, people cooling down, so they go in different areas of the course. The clouds roll in, gets dark, the rain starts coming in sideways. That really set the scene for like an epic battle at Gels Park.
It was, wasn't it? And just thinking, so the big questions were, was Nath Pearce going to hold on? How's Andy going to recover from the marathon? What conditions Andre in, because they're running together. Andre actually dropped the timing chip at the changeover. Or some, you know, of those two, the timing chip's on the ground, and we're thinking, what's going on here? And then, of course, you've got Big Stewie, just the big gazelle ready to roll out. And I know Andy said beforehand, there is no gap comfortable enough to go into that last leg with Stewie on the ground. And yeah, as it was, the you could see actually people's Stravas afterwards of them following around the course, cheering everyone on because they're still running, following around the course. And yeah, we're all just, Andy, I don't know if you could hear anything we were yelling, but Brady and I are trying to yell splits at you like 20 seconds, 40 seconds. And I'm just thinking, he's just hearing noise. And then, man, that tent city down, and it really looked like you and Andre were really working together with Nate slowly coming back to you after the first lap. And then it seemed through the change there that you thought, time to go. Let's give this a shot.
So I did hear what you guys were saying, but it was funny because it seemed like everybody was telling me splits. Like literally every single person on course, people I'd never seen before were telling me splits. And I was like, is that how far it is to Nate? Is that how far someone is behind me? Like, and then when I got a gap on Andre, I was like, is that how far Andre is behind me? Is that how far Stewie is behind me? Like, it was just so funny. I was getting so many splits and I heard everything. But yeah, you just said that Andre and I worked together, and I don't think any of that happened because Andre took off quite fast and I was just like, yep, I'm just going to sit on him for the first lap. And it was actually quite windy down at Gels Park, and the way the course was set up, there was a fair few sections where you were running straight into the wind, and I just thought, this is the perfect way to get into this. This is a good way of not getting too carried away. And I thought I'd just sit in and see how I felt after a lap. So Andre dropped the chip, and then he took off quite fast, and I just thought, oh, this is perfect. I literally just sat on him for the first lap, and I was just sitting in. I was feeling pretty good, so that was handy. And then I thought, oh, I feel pretty good here. I thought I'll make a bit of a move. My first thought was to get rid of Andre, because my worst thought that was popping into my head was, I won't catch Nath, Andre will outkick me, and Stewie will catch me. So that
was mine as well.
That would put us in
fourth. We could come home with nothing. Yeah.
And I was just thinking, oh, for our young team, when we were like, yeah, we want to get a medal, and then it's come down to me, and this has happened, and we go fourth. Like, I'd rather come sixth or something than come fourth. So,
whereas I actually thought, I was like, well, we're definitely going to catch Nath, like 34 seconds. When I saw that at changeover, I'm like, well, we're going to get Nath in Western A's. We're going to be at least third. And I'm like, we're going over, like, I'm celebrating my cool down going to the boys. We've at least got 30 boys. Because it was looking like we weren't. Like, that through league, like, four and five until Archie put us back in it, I was like, oh, where? The gap's too small to Stewie. Like, they're going to get us. We'll drop back to fourth. And then I'm like, okay, Andy will at least get us up to Nath. We're all good here. As long as he can get us a medal, don't flog yourself up post-marathon. And then, like, I'm just like, shit, we're going to win this. Like, we could potentially win this. And I'm like, you know when you're just stoked with, like, third, and then all of a sudden it's like, we can win a premier division gold medal. So that was my emotion going. And it's probably one of the most emotional times I've ever been involved in, like running, like the whole team component of it. And that was another thing that you didn't mention, Nige, when you're talking about there's all these factors, you're like, there's also five guys from four teams, so 20 people in total, who have already busted their guts, who are invested in this finish, that then the last runner has that pressure on them to be like, well, I've already seen five guys cross the line and they can't breathe and their legs hurt and they've kind of emptied their tank for this team. Now it's time for me to do the same.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Thing in that last leg. So, yeah, it was a very weird emotional experience for me watching those last and seeing all the young kids get around the course and people just like, people are running from like, say, the 5K part of the course to the 5.5K part of the course, and they're running, pretty much sprinting across the course, yelling, up the bats, go the bats. And like, Glenn McMillan was running around without his shirt on. I'm not sure where his shirt was. Maybe he was doing a cool down, like he's punching the sky. People are just up and about, and everyone's just pretty much chasing Andy around the course as Stewie's trying to hunt him down. It was, it'll go down as one of my fondest ever running memories.
And the other clubs were into it too, like the guys and girls from St. Stephen's, like Fox Hill, club. They were all on the side of the course.
Western A guys.
Like,
yep.
Western A guys were screaming, like, and girls. It was pretty mega. And it is that team relay thing. And the beauty of the relays, even though they're an absolute pain to organise, is that people can watch other people race and cheer them on and encourage them. And that's something that we obviously really want to do, is even when you're not competing or you're not doing a warm down, like make sure you cheer, like go Bendigo, even if you don't necessarily know everyone in the team yet, just be encouraging. And that was really cool that we could actually all watch this competition unfold in front of us, basically.
It was quite funny, actually, the Western A boys, after I got into the lead, they, and I knew I'd put a little bit of time into Nath, and he said, I was chatting to him in the cool down, and he said, when I passed him, he was like feeling his crappest, and it was like up a bit of a hill into a headwind. And my mentality is whenever you go past someone, just dig in that little bit more just to really make them hurt. And he was like, yeah, I had nothing. So I knew I got a gap on him, and coming around probably 500 meters to go, the Western A boys are like, you know, when you're racing against someone and people cheer for someone as if they're right behind you. So they're cheering for Nath as if he's right on me, whereas he was actually like 10 or 20 seconds back. And I was like, yeah, I'm seeing straight through that, boys. But it was a nice try from them, trying to put me under a little bit more pressure. But that gave me a bit of a laugh, actually, which was quite entertaining.
Well, the flip side of that is I was also cheering for Stewie out there. Like, you'd go past 30 seconds ahead and I'm like, go, Andy, go. Gab's 25 seconds or whatever. And then Stewie would come through and I'm like, go, Stewie, you're a very good runner. Like, thanks for coming down to Gels Park as you're one of the best runners in the world and you're about to do Doha Diamond League. But I'm really, I know you're like, we don't want you to catch my team, but really, I'm a big fan of yours. So yeah, I wasn't doing
that's right.
No, you guys were doing. I was fanboying out there.
Do you want to hear the second lap? Because I only just got talking about the first lap already.
Yeah.
So sat on Andre, coming up the hill for the second time. First time. I felt pretty good, and I thought I need to get a gap on Andre, because then that secures a medal. I got a gap on him, and I don't know, like you were saying, Brady, with Nath being 30 seconds ahead, like doesn't sound like that much, but you look at it on the course and you see how far ahead he is. And this is a course with a lot of turns. You can really see quite a fair way ahead. And I was thinking, geez, that's a long way ahead. So,
and can I just interject for a second? I'm only saying that because I thought Nath was in 1930 shape.
Yeah.
Like, he went out and ran 1830.
Yeah.
Like, he's come off an injury. Like, people are saying that's his best race he's ever done in his life. So,
yeah.
So when I saw him 34 seconds, I'm like, oh, wow, 1930, take away 34, and he's right to run 1855.
Yeah, and that run from him is just, it sums up why relays are so good, because people just find something extra. But managed to drop Andre, which was good, and then worked on Nath and felt like I was making really good ground, and I was worried that he was just waiting for me to catch up and then he would make a big attack. But thankfully got past him, and then the last K, it's got to be up there with one of my favourite K's of any race ever. And I know I heard you, I think it was you said, like, oh, you've got to enjoy it, like, you've got a good break. And I was just like, that's just when you just relax. And I think you actually run faster when you relax and just really took it in, because there was so many Bendigo people there and it was just such a good atmosphere. And I know how much work Nigel, myself and Alice put in to get all these teams ready to go for the weekend, and then for us to, I definitely know a few people were saying Bendigo shouldn't be in Div 1, and then for us to come out and win the first round, which is probably the hardest round to win, I was just like, oh, this is a fairy tale. And then also having done Hamburg a few weeks ago, I was, I don't know, I think I could have been running through a fair bit of pain because I was just on cloud 9, so good memories.
Yeah, great way to start the season. And we had this doubt as like, if we can come third, fourth, it's probably, you know, good indication of the season. Because, like, Jack, like, the teams were loaded. That was the thing. Like, Jack Rayner for Western A, Stuart McSwain for St. Stephen's, that we're probably not going to have to come up against those two again until maybe the 10 relays in September when they come back from overseas.
Yeah, but I think we're going to have to pay a bit more attention to Box Hill, because they had a good team, and looking at their team, like, I don't know, Barber might, he might go overseas, but everyone else there, I think, they're a danger, and Andre's probably only going to get better as well. So I think, it was funny. Doug Buckridge was pretty quick to remind me on the cooldown that we bagged them out a little bit last week, and he said, yeah, look out for us.
I respected them, remember? I was saying, they're
good. Sorry, I think he said me. He didn't say
Thank you. He said,
yeah, Andy, what the hell kind of thing, but... yeah, Box Hill, they're back, and if they can, have similar teams throughout the whole year, they're definitely a title contender, I think.
They did have in their second team, they did have a guy run 2018 and 2013 as well, so they got some depth there like us. And I think Steve Dineen ran 40+, so I wonder what, I'm sure he'll be a guy who can potentially step into their open team as well. Our boys just rolled them. Steve Dineen, 2017. Stephen Van Rees, 2005.
So we need to chat about that 40+ team, because I believe Steve, when he took over, I think they were in third or fourth, and he chased down heaps of people. So epic run for Steve there, and he was loving it. And I was chatting to him later that day, and he was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. I'm so hyped up from today. Today was just awesome. And, like, you see that effect that running can have on people, and it's just bloody amazing.
I'm just looking at the numbers now. I think this is off the top of my head. I'm pretty sure he pulled in 4 minutes over the last leg.
Oh, that was a lot.
When they changed over to Steve, he's pulled Box Hill in 4 minutes. And I think he got him with, like, 150 metres to go, if that.
Yeah, I think so.
It was right at the clutch. It was right at the end. He thought he was in second, and then he just realised, oh, that's a good... Because, you know, as you were saying, there's all these slower people running different paces. Sometimes it's quite hard. You're sort of looking at the numbers, trying to work out, am I racing that guy or that guy? What's going on? And he said he just worked it out right at the end and then just had to sprint for the line. So, yeah, huge result for those guys for men's 40+. And we've kind of got a decision now, because the way that AV... are doing their registrations in is that people will have to enter each event. So we'll have to talk to Steve. Do we run him in under 40 or do we run him in the open? probably inclined to run him in the open, but we're going to have to make that decision now throughout the year.
So for the individual races, so like the second race at St. Anne's, you don't qualify for both?
No, you have to opt in to either one. So there'll be a few of those ones throughout the year.
Has that always been like that? Yeah.
No, they've changed it now to clear some things up, I think. So that's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, Mike Bellini and Nick McDermott both run really well. And they're, you know, Mike Bellini is one who, he's actually over 50. So I'm sure he won't mind me saying that. But, you know, they've run really well in that 40-plus team to do
Nick's,
that.
And Nick's first run off COVID too. He's just been back up. So that was good to see him out there.
Yeah, yeah. And those guys are so, they're so keen. Like, they are just so keen for the bats. It's fantastic. And like Steve Van Rees and Mike, they're both products of parkrun, of all things. Like, run and Bendigo parkrun. Few people said, hey, you can run a bit. You should join a running club. Join the running club. The people at the running club said, hey, you can run a bit. You should join the bats. And now they're running in, you know, they're winning medals. It's a great process, a great story of how that growth has worked with those guys. So really cool, really cool. And another teacher, we've got a high teacher to athlete ratio in this group as well. Yeah,
runners, teachers or physios, they're the most two popular jobs. That's, I think, it. For distance runners.
Yeah, really good.
It was a great way to start season. Long drive home, made even better with a bit of silverware around the neck driving home. So that was good. Yeah. And then the whole theme though changes. Like, we go from the Divi 2 team that goes up to Premier Division, who kind of just wants to prove themselves and not get relegated, to all of a sudden it's like the hunted. You've gone from wanting, I just wanted to hunt a few teams down, you know, prove that we're better than Geelong and Ballarat, the two other regional teams, and now I've got to rock up to round two with everyone wanting to take us down, boys.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I don't know, when we first had the first episode for this, Brady, this year, I was kind of saying, I want to win the premiership. And I think we better start planning some tattoo designs, because there's a few people that said, if we win the premiership, we'll get a bat tat. So I think we better start just throwing some designs around just to make sure we're prepared. I know it's a long season.
Archie brought that up driving home. He goes, where do you reckon you're going to get your tat? And I'm like, mate, it's round one. We've got nine rounds to go. So we've decided discussing placements and what the design's going to look like. So but we can get a bit of a jump on the season. Like, the next race is at home. I look at our whole team and everyone gets better when it goes from 6K to 8K. Like, we're going to be much stronger in a couple of weeks' time. And there's a chance, because we won the first round, we picked up that extra point. So on the ladder, we're on 12 points. Western A is on 10 points. If you do that again, all of a sudden you've got 4-point lead. If you do that again, like, and it's interesting, even for me personally, I always preferred the road over cross country. And Archie and I were cooling down this morning after our workout talking about it. And he was saying how he's looking forward to the road races. And I'm like, mate, we're good at cross country. We've got to embrace this. Like, a lot of people don't like cross country. Just because we kind of tiny don't like it, this is where we can make up a lot of points in the first couple of rounds if we can continue this kind of form and with this kind of depth.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Like, having the weekend we had where our premier team were doing really well, everyone had finished, everyone was supporting it, we ended up winning, it was like the perfect storm. And then coming into our own home round, which is, it's massive for us. Like, we used to have a race here many, many years ago, but it's running in Bendigo has changed so much since then. So we're so used to traveling. And I know when we're heading down to Melbourne, I said to the Buckle Twins, I said, oh, if we turn right here, we'll be at the race now. And we're like 10 minutes into our drive. And that's going to be so weird for us. So it's going to be a massive round in 2 weeks' time out at St. Anne's. And I'm really excited, because I think we're going to have everyone that ran at Jowls plus a few more people, and it's really exciting. And we've got an event out there this weekend, so there's plenty of bats that will be getting some experience out on the course, which I know will help a lot, because there's some pretty technical sections of this course. So it may be worth the river bats getting down there, because there's a few little
They were thinking about it actually.
Yeah, there's a few rocks. There's going to be a few different lines that you're going to be able to choose where you go as to what may be. The shortest way may not be the fastest way. So prior knowledge on this course is going to be, pretty important. So we've got a massive jump start there.
Spikes, Andy, or like how rocky is it?
It's so there's granite outcrops. So there's rocks where you're gonna have to but they're big rocks. So you're gonna dodge the rocks. But then there's a path we run on that's probably 200 meters, and it's pretty compact dirt.
Oh, really? So, kind of like that Cruden Farm kind of path.
Like Cruden, I think I'll be planning on wearing spikes and just knowing that my spikes, like the actual spikes, will be pretty rubbish at the end of it. But that's the thing. If it's bone dry, I probably wouldn't wear spikes, but I don't think it will be because it has rained a little bit. I think it's meant to rain a little bit in the coming days. So, that's my, what are your thoughts, Nigel? Do you know the course just as well as I do?
Yeah, I'm going to find out this weekend, I think, and I'll run in some flats this weekend and see. There are a couple of those parts that's got me a little bit concerned for the spikes. But 80% of the course is really good for spikes, so you kind of can't decide until the day. Pack both is probably the option, isn't it?
I reckon let's keep that knowledge top secret. Let's not let it, not let it get out to any other teams.
Let's get down for some home ground advantage, but let's tell everyone about the course before they get here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But it should be, I think to your point, what you're saying before, Andy, last time that a Bendigo round was held, apart from the Colobin relays, because we did have the Colobin relays for a long time, but a standalone round was in, I think, 97 or 96, somewhere back in the day. So...
I reckon I did one, Nige, in 2003, 2004. Belvoir Golf Course.
Belvoir Golf Course. Yeah, so still 20 years ago. It's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Showing your age there, Brady.
Rocked up in a pair of Keanos.
Oh, awesome.
Was smashing everyone in local Bendigo races and thought I was pretty good, and then an AV race come to town, and the guy's like, oh, you should go do this. And I was like, whoa, this is a bit more competitive than the local scene. I reckon I come about 87th in the under 20 race, but it was good.
Surprise. Yeah, that's good. Tell you what, speaking of newbies, I count we had 10 debutants, and there might be more. Andy, of the Beasleys, have they run AV before, or was this their first taste?
Mason has, but Ebony hasn't. Ebony. So Ebony can be added to that list. Yeah,
so that's 11. That's really cool. So yeah, Ebony, Woodward or Beasley, Tully Lang from your club, Braids, joined. Chris Armstrong, Rory Flanagan, Jake Delaney, Jordan Buckle, one of the Buckles as well. And as we mentioned before, Brian and Ingrid Woodward, and not related to the other Woodwards, and Helen Anderson. So good to see, like, we're getting, even though it's growing, we're retaining a lot of athletes, we're getting new ones in as well. And look, they told me afterwards that they had a great time. They might have gone home and, you know, felt the hamstrings the next day and found it was pretty hard. But, you know, I saw people like Chris and Rory and Jake, and they were just beaming. They thought it was fantastic. Results aside, they just had an awesome day out.
Yeah, and I think it's that whole, I was chatting to Chris and he's just like, this team, like, he just loves being part of a team. It's something so unique, and it's something we've been growing for the last few years. And although running is a very individual sport, but you go down there and you're part of a relay, and you're also part of the Bendigo region whole team. And I think it's so special. So I think that's I think all those guys and girls will be keen to run again in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, don't underestimate the importance of that, especially for the towns surrounding Bendigo that don't have AV clubs, or they might, but they don't go to XCR stuff. So this gives people an opportunity to be involved in a team, to go to these races and be included in relays and things like that. Chris Armstrong's a perfect example, coming from Shepparton. And, you know, Nath Stoat, a bit higher up than him over in Cobram Baruga. Like, there's no local athletics club or group that trains, you know, at their kind of level nearby. So this is their one outing for 3 or 4 weeks to be involved in that team environment.
It's really good, isn't it? And like our youngest athlete was 13 and our oldest was, you know, 61. So fair spread of ages as well across, which is really cool to see. We're not just, you know, we talk a lot about your team, the premier team, because they're obviously the headliner, but to have, you know, young teenagers right through to people who are in their 60s is it does show we're pretty much all comers, you know, and we just want people to run to their own abilities to their best. And that's what I saw on Saturday. I just saw people, no matter which division they're at, having an absolute crack and finishing exhausted. And that's what cross country is all about.
Yeah, it is. Well said. That's why you're the team director, Nige.
Thanks,
all right, mate. Fellas, we'll leave it there. And it's a good opportunity because the season's going to be pretty full in some of the coming months. But the gap between Gales Park and the second round, the AV8K cross country, which is held in Bendigo on the 28th of May, a lot of people have been asking me, when's the next round? We've kind of got a couple of weeks now to put some decent training in before hitting that at the end of May. And then I think in June is hectic. It's Cruden Farm, the relays at St. Anne's in Balan, which also you got Launceston 10K, Gold Coast Half Marathon, Marathon Festival in there as well. So time to get some training in so we can have some good performances at the end of May, always all the way through June.
Yeah, definitely. It should be good fun. And shout out to any of the Bats fans out there. If they want to come for a weekend trip to Bendigo, they can come up to St. Anne's. They can watch us run and enjoy a wine.
Book
that
some
kind of
accommodation,
stuff,
so. Stay the night, and then go to the group on the Sunday morning, the 7 a.m. group.
What more can you want? I reckon
if you're a rec runner out there and a big fan of the Bendigo Bats, talk to your wife, whatever, bring the family away, stay in Bendigo, watch some local cross country, maybe do park run in Bendigo that morning. Actually, there's a community race. Tim Crosby was talking about that last week. Do the community race, cheer on the Bats, put some money into the local economy, and then get out with the boys and girls on a Sunday morning. A few different pace groups there. Everyone's welcome.
And they could even travel north, an hour north, and check out this new bridge, Brady.
They could, if they want to. Yep, day trip up to Echuca Moama on the way home. Go over the new bridge. That's definitely a selling point there. But Andy, you do bring a good point about Bats fans wanting to buy merch. I reckon I get 20 DMs every day about the white Bendigo singlets, the one that you wore at the Hamburg Marathon, our warm-up and cool-down singlets. Not allowed to race in them, but everyone's wearing them. Is there any opportunity for people to buy them at this stage?
Yeah, I need to chat to the Ernie Old bosses. So the original plan was to keep them just for the Bats. But I think
we literally don't have any of them at the moment, do we?
Yeah, we literally don't.
We
ordered some what feels like probably 2 months ago, and I caught up with the two guys down at Jails, and their suppliers they're having some issues, so they're on their way, but we actually don't have any. But I know what you mean. I know there's a lot of people out there, and I don't know, I'm really keen to actually get some Bats supporter gear. So I know I was chatting to them about getting some cotton tees, some casual tees, as supporter gear. So they were keen to do that. So I think we'll action that in the coming weeks, and people can get around in some Bats gear to support their favourite XCR team.
All right, that's a good spot to end. So we'll have some more information about that in the coming weeks. You won't hear from us for a couple of weeks because there's no race for a couple of weeks, but we'll keep our heads down. We'll be training hard. We'll be getting names in the hat, because the next round for you, Nige, it's pretty simple. Pretty much everyone enters, and then you run as hard as you can. And wherever you finish in the race, that's going to help you for potentially relay selection going forward. And there's going to be some good battles. Like, I know Nath Stoat wasn't too happy that I ran a bit quicker than him on the weekend, so he wants to take me down. I know Archie's starting to sniff about and taking both of us down. I can imagine that the Beast is lining up Brian McGinley to take him down. Glenn McMillan be hoping to take a few people down. Steve Van Reeves is going to be looking to take a few people down. It's It could be a complete different top six. And that's a side of the strength of the team that, you could have someone who's potentially ran the third, fourth fastest time in Premier Division, now running the 10th fastest time in an 8K cross country race.
That's right. And I think, you know, speaking of the Beast, he was 7 days off a marathon, six days off a marathon. And it was 2:32 on the O'Keefe rail trail. And if anyone's run on the gravel rail trail, that's
course
a fair,
record.
Fair going. Course record by 3 minutes, mind you. So, for him to back up, and that was part of Andy and my consideration there, you know, it could have, and Jamie's as well, you know, how do you know how you're going to go after running that hard? And probably the other one who ran really well was Shepsky. Matt Shepsky is training for Gold Coast Marathon, and he he ended up in Div 7, but he ran a blinder. So I think he's just ready to go. He's going to take a bunch down in St. Anne's in a few weeks' time, not far from his place. And I think he'll go pretty well, don't you think, Andy? I think he'll
look he was definitely a surprise packet, and I think he will. Yeah, he's training pretty hard for Gold Coast, so he'll be one to watch in the next few rounds.
Good. All right, team, let's leave it there. Talk to you in a couple of weeks' time, and we'll do it all again.
Thanks, fellas. Go Bats.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.